Sonata. Hey, Billy. Come on, you.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
All right, we're ready to go.
Okay.
Are we recording?
Yep.
I can't see Chaley. It's weird, and it's wonderful at the same time. Hey, this is the Doug Stanhope Podcast, and I am joined, of course, with Greg Chaley, and Christine Levine is with us on a beautiful Saturday, and we are with Jenna, who, I don't. What do you prefer your job title to be called?
Any of them are fine, like escort, stripper, sex worker.
Lady of the evening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whatever you want to call it.
I always liked call girl.
Me too.
Call girl was always like the romantic mm-hmm. sounding one.
I know. I agree with you. Call girl's nice. Because you're at their beck and call.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a girl. I like it.
This is the easiest prep work. I mean, I almost needed another pad of paper.
Oh.
As well as post-it notes from last night. Our pre-game conversation when I was full of Negronis.
Yeah, I remember that.
Can we give a background as to how you guys got together before you
went into the show? Yeah, that's where I'm going. Yeah. Thanks, my producer's telling me how to do my goddamn show.
Yeah.
So you reached out to me because I guess you must have heard us talking about the time we were in Montana and we were trying to get an escort out of the weekly on the show, and none of them would do it. They'd come and suck your dick, but mm-hmm. they wouldn't come and talk about their business.
Yeah.
So you kindly reached out and emailed me and said that you would be happy to be on, and we're happy to have you.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad. I didn't expect it, but I think it'll be fun to, like, tell my stories and whatnot.
Do you listen to the podcast regularly?
I kind of, like, binge listen to it when I'm doing something for, like, a long period of time. So I will hear, like, 5 episodes at a time.
That's weird because we get a lot of emails from people that say they listen to us at work.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like humping for a long period. Yeah. Just have it in the background.
You go ahead. Just don't yank out my earphones.
<That's right.
laughs> Yeah, I wish I could get away with that.
All right. So yeah, let's do some background. You started escorting. You're in the Southwest area, and you started when you were 17.
Yeah, I started actually in the Bay Area when I was 17, when I was in college.
Well, wait, you're 17 and in college? So you're like in the Mensa, like accelerated program, that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, I was in my freshman year, so I was 17 for a good portion of it and over the summer. And actually, to be honest, I kind of started like in high school as well, but mm-hmm. in a more or less serious way.
How often have you told this story?
You know, not too often because no one in my life really knows what I've done at all, because I come from like a really like conservative background. Yeah, I come from, my parents are immigrants from Ukraine and Russia, so like I grew up really strict. And so no one knows, which is why I try to be anonymous.
Well, yeah, you would have to be.
Yeah.
One of the many reasons, but that one is a big one. Yeah, like, I started pretty randomly. Like, my parents were really strict about school and grades, and that's one of the things that kind of drove me crazy into, like, the type of angst you would need to go find 50-year-old men on Craigslist to take your anger out on, I guess.
Huh.
You've been doing this for 10 years now.
Yeah, at least.
Are you more nervous doing this podcast than taking a call?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What about your first one? Would you rather have gone on a podcast or taken that first date? Do you call them dates?
Are they dates? Dates. I think.
Yeah, definitely, like, the podcast is more fun. Like, I get to meet two of my favorite comedians, like, face-to-face, and that's pretty sweet. Whereas the Johns are pretty lame most of the time, so the money's good, so it's exciting for that
reason. All right, I have a giant mm-hmm. list, but so take us through your first experience at what got you into it, how you were led down this dirty path.
Very, very first experiences were back in high school where I would post ads as a joke where I would say, like, oh, give me this thing and I'll fuck you. When I was, like, at that point, even 16 maybe, I was mad at my boyfriend and I would just put out these ads to prove to myself that I was worth something and somebody wanted me, which is kind of sad, like, saying it out loud, but I would say, like, oh, buy me this, like, $300 thing and I will fuck you, and people would do it. And so, like, one of the first ones was I asked someone to buy me, like, a full-powered microscope. For, like, no particular reason.
So I can check your chlamydia before I fuck you.
Just, like, yeah, it was one of the most stupid ones, but, like, someone did it. They, like, literally ordered it to my house. Like, a full, like, $500, like, full-strength microscope, and I met with them. And it was, like, this kid from UC Berkeley, so it actually wasn't too scary because he was, like, younger. And then we had sex and it lasted, like, a minute, and so, like, it was, like, really easy, and that was the first time I realized, like, wow, I just, like, made more money than I'd, like, ever make doing anything. Just by, like, laying there, and it wasn't scary or anything, and that, like, led me into, like, just repetitively, like, doing it more and more.
Yeah, the hot girl experience is way different than the fat girl trying to be a hooker experience. I'll tell you that right now.
I did have in my notes, like, what's the youngest client you've ever had? Because I remember I was getting hookers when I was 18.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely guys, like, in their early 20s would be the youngest. Yeah. I don't know about teens, but yeah, pretty young.
Is there a preference?
For me,
as far as clients go.
Yeah.
I over time just started to be grateful whenever they're normal. within a range of normalcy, it's a relief because a lot of them are just so weird and gross that, like, if somebody's just a normal human being, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. Well, that part's the same.
Yeah. No, I've been the guy that just wants to talk because I know I'm too coked up to really work this out. And when they don't have a personality, it works both ways, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when's the first time you actually got money and not just parting gifts?
Money,
encyclopedia.
The first time I got money was still in high school. It was this, like, random guy with kids that I met in a hotel, and I got $200, and he, like, tricked me into doing anal. I don't know, and, like, fucking him
with a condom.
Oh, he had, like, a really tiny penis. It was, like, a 3-inch penis. So he was like, oh, come on. It's not going to hurt because it's so small. And
hard to argue with that, though.
Yeah. And then he told me he had, like, a vasectomy and, had been tested. And I was, like, at that point, young and stupid enough to just straight up believe him. So I did it. Luckily didn't.
Well, as long as he had a vasectomy, you can do anal.
I did, like, other stuff with him too, but, like, he really just lulled me into a false sense of security. So I saw him a couple more times and he lied about the vasectomy again and told me he, like, had received it within a time period that he had said the same thing, like, months before.
Oh.
Like, oh, I had a vasectomy 3 weeks ago, and then he said that again, like, 3 months
ago. It's like his line, yeah.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, shit, like, what else is he lying to me about? And I was fucking him bareback. So.
Wait, like, why were you in a motel at 17 years old?
Well, I lived with my parents, so.
Yeah.
In a motel. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I had to go somewhere, private. So, like, it was always motels at first.
All right, I thought you were saying you were in a motel anyway, and that guy happened.
Oh, no, no.
All right.
No, I had a very normal upbringing, unfortunately.
I'm glad to know that men lie to regular women, too, and prostitutes. Like, it's all, they just do that. I've had the same thing. So, yeah, I get it.
So where do you go once you leave the house? When does this become like, all right, I'm doing this for a living?
Well, when I went to college, I got my own apartment. And at that point, I was just starting to invite people over, or I would just drive to wherever they were. And I would go to like...
Is this through Craigslist? How are you...
So yeah, I started through Craigslist, but as you might know, they shut down their personals a while ago. So I stopped doing that like through Craigslist, like when they shut it down, but it started that way. Yeah.
You've been doing this for 10 years and I haven't gotten a prostitute for far longer than you've been a prostitute. So
yeah.
I don't know the timelines of what matched up with what. Like, again, I was going on the fucking back of a weekly, Houston Chronicle or whatever.
Wow, yeah, I can't even imagine that. It's so much anxiety. Like, it's just so, like, from my perspective, it was just so legal, and I was always so close to being caught, even through, like, ambiguous ads online, so...
That's, that's a question we didn't even write down. Have you ever been arrested?
Oh, yeah.
No, never. I always made sure to play this, like, sugar baby, consensual, like, boyfriend type thing so that I could always defend myself in case of that.
Were you ever dumb enough to do the, you have to tell me if you're a cop?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, maybe a couple of times I got really paranoid. And asked for, like, ID or, like, work ID from the guy. But.
What Christine was asking pre-game, like, what are red flags that you go, all right, I'm not doing this, or.
Yeah, you'll call
I'm
going to
ask for ID.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really overt questions about, like, exchanging sex for money.
All right.
Oh, so he acts like he's talking into his shirt, like, okay, so I'm going to give you this $50.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, for that $50, you're going to fellate me.
Yeah, basically, like, if somebody's doing that, I just immediately, like, really freaked out. Usually, guys understand not to, and, like, you can sort of tell.
Yeah. You know? It should operate like a drug deal.
Yeah.
We're all talking in code. We all kind of know. Yeah. I got it.
Hey, how much sausage can you swallow?
Yeah.
Well, how long's it going to take you?
That's right. I can eat 3 cheeseburgers. 3.5. Mm-hmm.
You left the Bay Area at some point. The Bay Area seems very pro sex worker.
Yeah, it is. But still, like, I don't know, it's still really crowded and there's like a lot of cops and a lot of people pretend that they're okay with sex work or want to promote it, but then they're just like also horrified of it and don't understand what it is. So. I don't know.
So you moved out of the safety nest of San Francisco?
Well, sort of. For college, I moved to San Jose.
Hmm.
Yeah.
More money.
Yeah. Sort of. It's more competitive.
like tech guys, you go, oh, they get shitloads of money and they're yeah. probably pretty boring, but they're probably the weirdos, like Patrick Bateman and American Psycho.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, except yeah. it's really competitive. So girls are like lowering their prices. So in the Bay, people are doing stuff for like $60 and I can't do that. So it really doesn't work for me there anymore. It's just mm-hmm. like people are so competitive and prices go down when that happens.
We were wondering, like, you, that whole cliched expression, sailor's payday. Is there an event or any events that you travel to where you go, all right, this I'm missing out. If I don't go to Super Bowl or the fucking Consumer Electronics Convention in Vegas, or are there
Sturgis?
Yeah. Are there places that you travel to like going, I'm going to fucking make mad cash?
Mm-hmm. No, I think other girls do. Like sometimes in high season in Hawaii, I have coworkers that will go there. Oh. And sometimes, like, walk the line where, like, tourists will pick up prostitutes. But I personally don't do that just because I'm lazy and antisocial.
Nah, see, this goes into two other things. That someone here was saying that there was a study done that prostitutes with pimps make more money. Mm-hmm. Than they do on their own. And I said, well, yeah, if I didn't have Hennigan, I wouldn't book dates.
Right.
I'd be lazy as fuck.
That's right, what they do.
Yeah.
Did a pimp put out that study? Because.
No, like, economic economists did.
I don't know that the money actually gets back to the girl, but they bring in more money because
for sure,
they're pushed to work. The same as I am pushed to work by Brian Hennigan, where I would. I'd be slothful.
They get
my
booked
own.
More.
Yeah.
Then we're
yeah, it's definitely true. Pimps know where like all the places to go are, but they do take all of your money and give you very little. So I kind of hate them. But
no, are there situations like Heidi Fleiss situations where there's someone that you can trust on a business level? That's you know.
On yeah. You don't need a pimp, you need a manager, a talent.
At strip clubs, definitely. I've had managers and bartenders that were, like, kind of in charge of everything, and I trusted them, and it went well. But, like, as far as an actual pimp that's propositioned to me, no, those have all been super sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Just wanted to take all of the money and then, like, you know, be violent, because that's what they do still.
Mm.
When you say coworkers,
yeah,
I picture a break room.
Oh, there's a dressing room.
Oh, so you work out of a club?
Well, I've worked in so many places, like dozens of places, and a lot of them are strip clubs that are actually brothels. So we have a dressing room, and everybody's fucking, and there's broken cameras in the back with tape on them, and it's like just a full-on brothel, but it's also a strip club. So
mm-hmm.
the coworkers I speak of are the girls that I'm, you know, in the back room with and competing with and working with.
Do you like to talk about this when you have a coworker, like, because I know comics,
they're
such a rarity. Yeah. Do you like? Do you have anyone that's on par with you intellectually that you go, hey, let's just fucking talk about this. This is such bullshit.
Yeah, camaraderie.
Almost never. There was like one really coked out girl that like really liked to talk to me, but it wasn't necessarily about what I wanted.
Talk at you.
Yeah.
But she was like, you know, into communism and kept saying we should unionize and was like a little delusional, but like...
She's my favorite person, though. I love her. Bless her heart. Oh my God. That's so cute. I mean, annoying for you, but I kind of think she's adorable also for trying to even having the
cocaine
idea.
Cocaine is really when you get your best ideas. It's really when you don't have any follow through.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so she was like sort of the closest sort of friend I had, and then she randomly disappeared, and that's pretty normal. So like,
Well, where do you think she went? Like rehab or got out of the business?
People told me that she had a night where she made like $1,000 and she was just taking the time off. So I don't know what actually happened, but I don't know.
There's a two-part question that leads into this. What's the most money you made on a call? And what's the most amount of, I don't want to say tricks. It just sounds fucking cheesy. But
dates.
Yeah. How many men have you had in a 24-hour period the most? And what's the most money you made on one?
Jeez. Okay. So, like, the most in a day is probably around, like, 10 guys.
Oh, that's so much work.
Some turnaround.
Ooh, sex work is work.
Yeah, because it's like really fast, and that's like working in the actual brothel where if there's like a lot of guys, it's like almost like a couple of minutes each time.
Yeah, well, I would think that that would be the benefit, because there seems to be a hierarchy with you know, strippers who say, "Yeah, I'll do this, but I'd never be a hooker." But a hooker will say, "Well, yeah, I'd never do porn."
Right.
But I would that's like a middle act. I think a prostitute is a middle act in comedy, has the least pressure because a local shitty open micer goes up and warms up the crowd.
That's true.
You do 25 and the show's not on your back.
Oh, I love
it. And then the headliner has to fucking carry it.
Wow.
Porno, you have to work.
That's, you're on set.
A hooker, you just make them come as quick as possible and leave. They don't have a market for that kind of porn.
Oh, no. It's so
No, good, you just get a huge suck.
Yeah.
Time, people.
Time is money.
Yeah.
Have you considered porn or have you done porn?
You know, I haven't really done porn. It's so little pay for so much work. And the people in it are really like to have people looking at them. They like the fame. Definitely not for the money. You make way more money stripping and hooking by a lot. Mm.
Have you been first of all, 10 years, like how much has changed in the 10 years you've been doing this? Cause that's a long stretch and you're only.
I'm 27.
You'd be in your 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's quite a bit of time, but like.
Well, and a lot has changed. Cause like you said, like Craigslist has gone tits up. We have OnlyFans now. You know what I mean? Like the digital age has changed everything.
Didn't that kind of rot up OnlyFans? Didn't that they stop paying people or stop letting you do shit? Or?
Almost, and then they went back to it.
All right.
Yeah.
But psychologically, just how you go about the business now versus when you were first starting out. Like, what are some of the mistakes that you would tell a let's say 18-year-old you? Because it sounds. Sounds a little less displeasing.
Yeah, I would say do as little as possible for the most amount of money is the trick to the whole thing.
That you didn't know at the beginning?
Yeah, I did not know at the beginning. I actually worked hard in the beginning. I really put out and like tried to really like show myself as like so slutty and willing to do whatever. Big mistake. Because then guys think they can take advantage of you and not pay you and stuff like that.
So it's just like being a regular woman.
That was my closer question, was what advice would you give to a young girl that's trying to get in your business?
Yeah, you have to learn to read people, pick your clients carefully. Like, you know, it's like a game, you know?
Yeah.
Are you tired of it at all?
I'm semi-retired at the moment. So when COVID started, it kind of forced me and like my club closed and it sort of forced me into retirement. And I've been saving my money and learned to invest it. So like I was able to pretty much, I don't really have to go back to work now.
Well, that's great because that's why we had you on. Is do you have any stock market tips?
Yeah.
I was actually one of the people that got in on the GME. I don't know if you heard about that. GameStop.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got in on that when it was like $20 and $40, and then it went up to like $400 or something. And,
did you cash out?
Somewhat. I cashed out a little bit, and I put more money back into it, and I'm like, been basically just milking it. It's been going up and down for a while now, so, yeah.
Wow. See, you need a manager.
Yeah.
Hey, can we get pandering charges if we're in management for her as entertainment? We have a lawyer on site. He's going to look into it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't want to get...
Really interesting.
If we steer business your way and they use promo code Stanhope, I legally...
Wrong hole!
Listen, you might not feel like you're completely down and out at the end of your rope, suicidal, out of your mind, clock tower, rifle. But you know what? Every day we're on this awful, awful planet, there's something that's probably holding you back that you need to unload. Unload that stress and get it out. Talk to someone who's completely unbiased about your life. Someone who isn't going to judge you and take sides on anything. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stressors and get some unbiased feedback in your life. You'd be pretty surprised at what you might gain from it. See if it's for you. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Doug Stanhope podcast listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/Stanhope. That's BETTERHELP.com/Stanhope for 10% off your first month. That's Bingo. Bingo and Raider and Tracy are all here in the background.
Hey.
Hi.
We're all very excited to talk to you. Let me go to some of my dumb questions. Did you? Oh, wait. Oh, no. She said the most money was. What was the most money?
Oh, I didn't say the most money. Yeah, that's probably around $4,000 in a day.
Oh, man.
Wow.
From one date?
Oh, no. From like two in a day. Yeah.
The other, have you ever been an actual escort? Because I know sometimes the girlfriend experience, have you ever had dates that didn't want to have sex at all? They just, hey, I'm going to the company Christmas party and I want to look cool.
Never like that. I've had clients at strip clubs that just wanted me to sit on their lap and talk. And I've done that like quite often, or just had dinner. Like, I had a client who was this, like, 75-year-old rich guy who just wanted to go to dinner a lot and take me shopping, so I just done that.
Yeah, so pretty yeah. woman type like of that. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the question, what is the most accurate representation about sex workers that you've seen in a movie?
Oh, never. They're all so fake.
All right, then what's the worst? I'll let you think, but stand-up comedy, almost every movie about stand-up comedy is fucking wrong. From Punchline with Tom Hanks to, like, this is not at all how stand-up comedy is. So we still awful. Watch them because yeah. it's about stand-up comedy. Yeah. So I would assume
we have to.
It's the same with you where you go, I'm going to watch this, but I know it's going to be dog shit and I'm going to be yelling at the screen. Mm-hmm. Never happened. There's no yeah. lockers in a brothel or a comedy club green room.
Lockers in a brothel.
Yeah, there was like that recent one with Jennifer Lopez.
Hustlers.
Strippers. Yeah, that one. I don't know what they're thinking. That was really dumb. And then, like, really old movie Showgirls had an interesting portrayal of strippers, too.
I remember that existing, but
I never saw it. Mm-mm.
But, yeah, like, Pretty Woman is the only one that comes to mind.
Pretty Woman.
But, oh, wait, Leaving Las Vegas. That's a fucking great movie. I don't know how accurate it is, but it seemed pretty accurate.
I don't think I've ever seen that, so I wouldn't know. Well,
you're going to watch it tonight.
Yeah.
I'll pay you by the hour. You have to see Leaving Las Vegas.
Or what about like the Sasha Gray girlfriend experience on Showtime?
Oh,
that was a real thing. Did you see that?
No.
Was that the... I don't know. I've watched a lot of Sasha Gray's stuff. I'm not sure. She had like a movie where she was like played a girl with like a clit in her throat. Is that the one?
Oh, no. That's not what I mean. That's a remake of Deep Throat. That's different.
Wow. The kids don't even know Deep Throat anymore.
But good job. Yeah.
Have you ever considered Nevada legal brothels?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've applied to a few, but you have to give half of what you make to the house. So I don't know. Yeah. That's what put me off of it. I calculated like what my day might have to look like. And then you have to make, I think, about above a certain amount to keep your room for free.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is you don't have to fuck Dennis Hoff for the job anymore.
I was really into the idea of going to the Bunny Ranch when it was like super popular, and I like really fantasized about it, but then I don't know, I just lost interest just for money reasons pretty much.
But again, by like volume, they can get more clients for you or boost your profile. So I think that's what a lot of women thought that they were getting by signing up for that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I know I have gigs where I go, I'm never doing this again.
Mm.
Like, this is, fuck this business. Just because of one gig, you have to have dudes like that where you're like,
all the time.
And Dennis Hoff, that's what brought that to mind.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you had to fuck Dennis Hoff, and he was I wouldn't say a friend of mine. He'd call me a lot when I could. Anytime he could get press, him and Ron Jeremy were the biggest fucking press hound motherfuckers that anything that can get us attention. And I always felt bad for the girls on that show because they could never be honest. Like, you're being honest.
And
go on, what was it called? Cat House?
The HBO show.
And go, I'm so fucking sick of this, but it's the easiest way to make money. I do that on stage. I go, I don't want to be here tonight. You know what? I don't even like it. I can get away with that. You can't do that on HBO and sell tickets. Yeah, I just lay there and I fucking roll my eyes and I fake it.
Yeah.
But you get some dudes that like that stuff.
Wrap her in ice. Act like a body.
Exactly. I had a guy tell me once that he wanted me to smell like bleach.
Oh, no.
Well, that's not good.
Yeah.
And he's like, Christine's don't
done
move.
Some sex work. I forget to bring that up. My producer didn't fucking remind me.
Oh, I mean, I try it. Like, my situation being a BBW, fat girl.
Hang on, let me just give her some background. She was a porn clerk for many years as she was starting stand-up and in stand-up in Portland, which I think you guys have a Portland connection. You worked at the whatever.
Fantasy for Adults Only in Tigard, Sandy, Burnside, and all of them.
Mm-hmm. And so she did some side work here and again.
Yeah. I tried to. Well, so I had a friend of mine who was a hooker, and she got me into it. And then it just turns out that all the guys like want to smell my feet or talk to me. And I just was like, well, when is the fucking going to start? Like, when I'm here to bang and nobody like these dudes were so pathetic. I had one guy want to roll his dick in my belly and make like a dick belly burrito and come in my belly button. Like, that was his whole thing. And smell like me. And I was just like, I can't. I mean, when's the dick going to come in my pussy? What are we doing? So I got a little disillusioned with the whole thing because I thought, this is not what I signed up for. I did not sign up for to let you smell my feet and talk shit about your wife, dude. I didn't. I'm not into it. I mean, you know, yeah, they tried to buy me stuff or whatever, like shoes or panties that they wanted me to pee in. Or just like, I don't understand. like, you are grateful for normal guys, but I never met one that wanted to fuck a fat girl. Just, they're all just, if they're paying to fuck a fat girl, they want to smell their feet. I don't. They're just weirdos, dude. They're just weirdos. Yeah. So, I mean, after like 4 or 5 times of that, I was like, oh, I gotta, this isn't for me. I don't want to be anybody's fucking counselor or burrito belly vehicle.
Now you're making everyone with a fetish feel bad.
Well, they should. They're disgusting. Blah. Something's wrong with you.
Go ahead. Swap stories.
Honestly, that sounds lucky to me. I would have been thrilled to not have to do anything other than like put my feet in their face. But like, I guess you're dealing with people who are pretty hardcore fetishists. Which
can, yes,
be weird. Like,
they're like obsessed with it. Oh, they wanted me to eat too. They were like, oh, "We'll take you. I want to take you to dinner, and I want like 4 cheeseburgers in a row, or will you sit on my cake? Not my face.
Oh,
but this. Oh no, it was cake, then the face. I bet that was what's where it was going to go. But yeah, sit on this cake. Oh my god, it was weird. I'm like, I don't want sugar in my vagina. Yum.
It's kind of degrading. I can like feel that's like kind of,
yeah,
you feel sort of weird, like,
right. Maybe. I thought I was going to get treated like a normal prostitute. I thought, yeah,
I can understand
the Jenna treatment.
Yes, I thought I was going to get the Jenna treatment, and then I just got, yeah, just totally fetishized. And I was like, I can't. And on the one hand, you're right, like, oh, at least they didn't want to fuck me, but then I was also kind of insulted, like, why don't you want to fuck me?
Have you ever, Jenna, have you ever had one that you thought, I would have done this for free?
Mm-hmm. Kind of. I mean, you get so addicted to the money, it's like you almost just want to charge everybody all the time. So it's like, I've had some where I enjoyed it too much and just kind of to the point where it's weird and don't feel like charging them, but then it's hard
to when I was a kid in Vegas, I was living in this really sketchy trailer park, and I was like 19 or 20 or something, and I was fucking with meth at the time, and the trailer, mm-hmm, next to me supplied it, and there were a couple, and I was going to go up to, not the Bunny Ranch, the one outside of Vegas in Pahrump. I was going to go, finally go to an actual brothel, and I was all excited, mm-hmm, and I cashed my paycheck and told my neighbors, and I did a bump of meth and drank some beers and then did more meth and more beers.
And
he's like, well, how much are you going to spend? Well, my wife, she'll fuck you. So then I just fucked his wife for $40 or $60 or something. And then later on, she's fucking banging on my trailer and she wants to fuck me again for free, which kind of felt like a ripoff.
We would have already.
Yeah, like now I don't want to fuck. Yeah. And now I want my money back.
That's
it's
right. Just,
it's a weird dichotomy, and the morals involved versus the legal versus the moral versus the right and wrong.
That's right.
Am I like?
It's confusing. I agree. So, like, if somebody talks to you too long, don't you think like I could be? Like, I should charge this guy $40 for just talking my ear off.
Oh, I do, yeah. I don't let people just talk. That's one thing. That's another, like, advice thing. Like, when you're young, you let people take advantage and just talk your ear off. But when you, you know, get more involved in the business, you learn that, like, your time is literally money. And, like, every 10 minutes counts. And you need to, like, charge for it or tell them.
I was going to ask, Jenna, do you charge for the act or for the hour?
For the time, for sure, yeah. Because I'll kick them out, like, if they can't come or whatever the problem. Like,
another question. What's a good trick for coke dick?
Mm-hmm.
To get
there's
them
no trick,
get them
unfortunately. Oh gosh, there's no trick. You just, I've never like succeeded with someone who's too drugged out. Like,
oh no.
I've had lots of guys that were way too like on ecstasy, heroin, meth all at the same time, all kinds of stuff. And you know, you just kind of hump them and
That's the person that wakes up the next morning and go, that ecstasy was fucked up. Like, yeah. Well, you were on heroin and acid and fucking.
I didn't feel a thing.
How did you know it was the ecstasy that's fucking wrong?
Yeah, that's when you go for their credit card, you know, too disoriented to notice it.
Yeah, that's happened to me where I was, I got an escort in Davie, Florida, and I was just really fucked up, and she said, okay, it was back in the day, she had to call in the credit card to her service, and she's like, okay, what's the number, okay, and then the expiration date, okay, and the, what's your social security, and I rattled it off, and then went, wait, I just gave him my social security number. They shouldn't need that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Later, I get a fucking a collection agent for some phone bill that in my name from Florida. I'm like, I never lived in Florida. Not as a...
I mean, I've never actually stolen a card from someone. I was kind of joking, but like, I do take advantage of people who are way too fucked up and just ask them. Tell them, like, oh, you said you were going to give me $20. And then I just say that again 2 minutes later. You know, I don't ever actually just take...
Like you say, oh, I had a vasectomy.
And yeah. Then-
Yeah.
Good for you. I would do that, too. I know people that do that to me because I don't remember things about money. Same thing. They just tell me I owe $20. And I go, okay.
So you've had no substance abuse issues?
I have, definitely. But not in the way you'd think. So I got addicted to heroin like 2 years ago.
No, that's exactly what we would think. That's actually...
Well, because I got into a car accident is actually the reason. So like,
and the needle went through the windshield and stabbed me in the arm.
And I broke my spine and actually ended up on like a 3-month OxyContin prescription. Oh. And after that, I started to buy drugs online and then started to do heroin, which was really great. I mean, should have done it earlier. I don't know. I was always doing random drugs, but I get sick really easy on drugs, so like I'm not good at being consistent with it. I'll just be like puking and I don't know.
Yeah, how did you get off of that? That's so hard.
She didn't say she's off of it.
Oh,
Suboxone. Right. So I ended up on a Suboxone prescription, which is like this legal thing that's like a half opiate thing that like helps you get off. I don't know. I got off it pretty easy.
So. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Because it's hard. I've seen people withdraw from heroin and it just
sucks.
Go
straight to GameStop.
And then.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And I was also like on fentanyl because they add it into like all heroin. So when I did the pee test, it was like, lots of fentanyl in it. And it definitely like helped because I was like really numb for like a lot of the work I was doing when I was like addicted. But like most of my career was like pretty sober with occasional, you know, alcohol and like random drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you say career because that's what it is.
Yeah,
I believe so.
It is,
but you don't look at your career as like a misfortune or I could have done something different.
It's like, but it's also a kind of social work. Like we need it. We need you to do this.
How many school shooters did you stop? There's no way to.
Probably 1,000.
Yeah. There's no way to put those numbers on paper.
Yeah, I definitely.
Again. Sorry. But yeah.
Well, I know.
Workplace shooters. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. Yeah.
School shooters. School shooters.
Yeah, sorry. I caught myself.
College. We met college.
you must have been with people in a position of power or notoriety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not going to ask you to name names, but if you could destroy someone's career that you've slept with,
What industry would that be?
Government,
be?
Yeah. Celebrity,
movies.
So the people are in the
governor.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not that prestigious. I ended up with people who were like a lot of tech people and somebody who owned a lot of jewelry shops.
You can say Steve Jobs. He's dead. He can't sue you for slander. Steve Jobs. She said it.
Yeah, I wish. I wish somebody that famous, but like, no, just a lot of tech people and like business owners, like, a lot of software engineers specifically. And, like one really big client I had owned a lot of jewelry shops and he was really weird, but really rich. So it was good.
Very.
Yeah.
I knew it. Yep. Jeff Bezos for sure has had hookers. You know that. Just tell by looking at him.
Have you ever had a return client that you said no?
Oh gosh. I feel like that's all of them at some point. I feel like one guy, he was a software engineer, he was Japanese, and for some reason I thought he was going to kill me. I just became convinced he was
probably not from the anal.
No, he had really pointy teeth and was really weird. Like, he was like half my size and was always really interested in like everything except sex. He was always kind of like touching my muscles and like,
oh,
I just felt like he was gonna try to kill me. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was the drugs. I don't know. Like, he would always take me to these crazy, like, Michelin star dinners and then, like, sort of feel me up, but, like, in a way where it was, like, I was way bigger than him. And he just...
Before she found out Michelin star dinners weren't a vending machine at a tire shop.
She was like, whoa!
Yeah, I don't know. He just, you know, he was, like, really obsessed. And when I said no, he just kept texting me and...
Did you ever have a time where you told a friend what you did for a living and then they wanted to buy sex from you?
Yeah, I did. Except it was like, I went on like an OkCupid date before and I didn't like the guy. And I like somehow at the end of it threw in there that I like fuck for money and he was like, well, I'll pay you.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's not a way to queer guys off the date.
No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, no, I fuck for money. He'll leave now. No, he's going to the ATM.
Yeah, that was surprising, though. You know, I thought a lot of guys get really offended when you tell them anything like that you would like strip or anything.
This podcast is brought to you by another podcast, the World Record Podcast. Hi, it's me, the B-Man, and I'm telling you, you should listen to the World Record Podcast. Go to worldrecordpodcast.com, watch the videos, join the Patreon. It's the funniest podcast in the world. Listen.
If you put a frog in a kangaroo's pouch, is that safe? For the frog, mostly, I guess. Because I know in the kangaroo's pouch, that's kind of where there's a nip in there. So I'm wondering if the frog was put in the pouch and he... sucked on the nip, would the kangaroo milk hurt the frog?
You would have to go to a veterinarian for that.
Okay.
So go to worldrecordpodcast.com. Watch all the videos, join the Patreon, listen to all the episodes. Just do it.
You ever did standing doggy? Have you ever heard of it?
Standing doggy? What is it, a beer?
No.
It's a position.
It's a position. You can. It's doggy, but you stand.
I don't know what you're talking about, Katie. I don't know.
Oh, wait, this would be a good place to put in an official ad for Stageman Underpants, our newest favorite, bestest sponsor, stageman.com, promo code Stanhope. It's the whole package. Just go buy two pairs and you'll never have to buy another pair of underpants for your entire life. Just trust us on this one. That's stageman.com. Get yourself two pairs so you can wear one pair while you wash the other pair. You don't really need to wash the other pair. You just like to look at them off your body and go, oh my God, I can't believe how good these make my body look when it's really not that good at all. DM me pictures.
Oh, San Hope, I almost DM'd you a picture of me using them as a convenient place to hold my phone while I took a shit. But I didn't know if that was appropriate or not.
That's so funny. All right, what were we talking about? Oh, and don't forget, use promo code Stanhope, stageman.com. Use promo code Stanhope. That's the only way we get paid.
You are listening to the Doug Stanhope podcast.
I'm asking a lot of these questions from personal experience. Mm-hmm. Like what position was I in when I was courting you? I remember like getting rides home to the comedy condo from a gig and just openly telling the girl that, yeah, I'm going to go back to the hotel and get a hooker. And they're like, what?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Like, yeah, it's just easier. And how much is that? And you go, probably $400 or something. But
yeah.
And then occasionally they go, yeah, you just don't want to. Sometimes you just want to fuck. And
yeah,
I've gotten laid off of that.
Yeah, because she's like, well, I'll leave.
Yeah. I'll
spend money. I'll get out. I'll leave, I promise.
Yeah.
Because that's what they say with Charlie Sheen said, that you don't pay them for sex, you pay them to leave.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Charlie Sheen got no shit.
Yeah.
It was Hugh Grant,
mm-hmm.
same time.
Yeah.
They both got busted with hookers. Charlie Sheen went on the stand. Heidi Fleiss.
Yeah.
If Heidi Fleiss called you right now, would you take her as a business manager?
Definitely. But just her. Just her.
No, Ghislaine Maxwell? No?
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Just Heidi Fleiss.
I think Heidi Fleiss is a lot older. Someone heckled right here. Oh, she's too old. No.
That's true. Heidi Fleiss,
she definitely looks older. Oh,
she's too old. Yeah.
Oh, right. That's true.
I get you now.
I want to know what strip club you worked at in Oregon. Is in Portland? It was in Portland, or can I ask?
So I worked in I worked in so many in Portland.
One of the
probably I have worked at anything you're thinking of, probably.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Well, the only strip club I've gone to willingly in.
Talk about it.
No. Oh, no. Yeah. We don't talk about that. But Mary's in Portland
Mary's.
The best. Did you ever go to Mary's?
I am aware of that place. Yeah, I never worked there because they have like a bias towards the older girls that have been there for a long time. So they wouldn't hire anyone.
No, that's true.
Jesus, are you a fucking running back in the NFL where you're in your 20s and they say, oh, there's an age bias because I'm in my late 20s?
There was. It's very... They just liked things done a certain way and had their girls.
And that's it. Yeah. I heard that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
they were female run. It's a mother and daughter that ran the place.
Mm-hmm. When we were there, yeah. I don't know. Did it change hands?
Well, they lost their lease. They're moving to Chinatown. And it's like, the location.
Yeah, it's not Mary's anymore. You don't have to put your song on yourself with the jukebox. And that's not the same thing.
Yeah, the dancers on stage would be yelling at like migrant workers going, come on, mm-hmm. I have to pay for these songs. You have to pony up enough money for the jukebox. Because I have to pay for these songs.
Yeah.
$1, they're peeling it. But Mary's was the best because it was like a your corner tavern
mm-hmm.
that if you wanted to look up and see a vagina,
there it
you
is.
Could go, and then you go right back to your drink and chatting.
But what's the place in like North Portland? Where it was like a dusk till dawn type devil vampire.
Is that Diablo's?
Yeah, Diablo's. Yeah. Yeah,
I worked at those too. Yeah, mm-hmm. Those were weird. I don't know.
I had a friend of mine. We went there for her birthday, and she got a whole finger bang from a dancer. And I was like, oh, they're They're prostitutes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
That's okay, right? Yeah. I mean, it was...
You used to, I don't know if you worked there, but you brought us to some sex club.
Oh,
what was it called?
Yeah.
Aces and Eights or something.
There was Ace of Hearts is what it was back in the day, but now it's got a different name. Velvet Rope, I think it's called now. But yeah, do you ever go there?
Not in Portland. The only sex club I ever went to was the Citadel in San Francisco.
Oh, that's a big one. That's fancy. Yeah.
And I went there.
Pinky out. They serve caviar at their nude buffet. Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool.
I don't watch stand-up comedy, so I can't imagine what it's like for you to think, I feel like having sex.
Oh, yeah.
I never like doing stand-up comedy.
Just randomly.
No. I'm not one of those people that loves to make people laugh.
No. No. Me neither.
No.
That's great. I don't either. Yeah, do you ever just like fuck for fun? I mean, relationships, any of that?
So rarely. Like, it's ridiculous. It takes me like a lot to really like somebody and really want to fuck. Like, they have to have a really like amazing personality. Amuse me and like flatter me. It just has like a lot.
Yeah, I get that.
It's probably more than like.
I think you're very pretty. Not really good at flattery.
He's terrible at it. He's trying though. Oh yeah, in relationships, do you have any? When was the last time you had a boyfriend?
I have a boyfriend now. I pretty much always like. On and off, I've had boyfriends, but like I have one now. It's pretty cool. I've known him for like a long time, like the full 10 years I've been working. I've known him.
Do you have clients, women clients too sometimes? Will you take a lady?
I would. I'd be like really into that, but almost never. Like I've had girls, sort of come on to me or like push their boyfriend on me, but they always shy away when it actually comes down to like touching.
Oh,
so sadly not.
Yeah, no. Every threesome I've ever been in was a bust.
Really?
Yeah, I think pretty much.
Oh, you're inviting the wrong people, not baby. I tell you that right now.
I was poked out of my head.
Those threesomes I had were super weird too. Like. There was always like one person or something that like, didn't work.
Well, with me, it was always the other two dudes were giggling too much.
Other two dudes
giggling.
The other two dudes.
Oh, I get it.
But that was a problem where you'd have a threesome and. It's two girls that I can't believe are doing this because they know each other I don't know them. So I can't believe I'm doing this. And there's always one that's giggly and the one that won't go down on you is always there.
Oh, you need to have threesomes with fatties.
No, that's gross.
In my mouth. It's a good time.
I asked you earlier what advice you would have for people that wanted to get into your line of work, young up and comers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What advice would you give to Johns? Listen, I'm in Vegas for the Consumer Electronics Expo. I want to get a hooker. I'm 21 years old. I'm a fucking feeb in the business. I don't know anything about life. I want to get a hooker, but I don't know how. Where does that guy start, and how does he go throughout the evening?
I would say go to strip clubs. Don't go to, like, the most high-end ones. Go to, like, the more seedier places if you want a hooker. Mm. And definitely, like, only go for the one that you're the most attracted to because the most aggressive hustlers sometimes are the most disgusting women.
Oh.
And you do not want to get in that trap because they will, like, take advantage of you and not fuck you and just take your money. So You want to just make sure you actually really like her. And
what about like Eros Guide was like the end of my hooker days. I would go on erosguide.com. My lawyer is fucking, he's sitting like this right now. Oh, I thought you're trying to dream up how we can do promo code Stanhope Eros Guide. So did you ever do like online website shit, or were you always in the back room of some filthy whorehouse titty bar?
The second one, because online was just so much more terrifying to me. And online experience just sucks so much. Like, it's so competitive, and the pay, people just always want to pay you the least amount.
Hit her. Hang on. Someone has to beat my wife. I can't do it all the time. I have a job. Sorry.
The hand flies.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry.
That was really loud. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Sugar Plum.
I just said no, I don't do online. I like quit that because guys always want to talk you down, and there's always someone willing to fuck for like $50 or whatever. Ugh. So I'm just like not about to compete with that. No.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times they don't show up looking like the picture.
That's true.
And that's why another reason that sex work should be legal. So you can sue for false advertising. But that should also
your belly's not nearly as big as I thought. You're not as fat as you said.
Hey, keto.
That's right. What? Oh, no. False advertising. That's terrible.
All right. I'm going through my list right now.
Do you want prostitution to be legal so they can tax you, or how do you feel about that? Because I knew a lot of like legal or, you know, weed dealers that didn't want weed to be legal.
Yeah, I think it should be legal. Like, if I was more selfish, I would say no, because I like taking all the money and hiding it and not paying tax. But, you know, like, it, for the greater good, should definitely be legal.
How do you hide your money? Like, without getting too specific, I guess, but like, don't you have to keep your money in cash?
I just watched a documentary on money laundering today.
So there's cryptocurrency, investments. There's like a lot of different rules, and, you know, I read up on all of them, and I sort of like move things, like distribute my money in different places. So like, it's all about just how you just have to not get noticed. Is
kind of smart about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty careful, and I've worked other jobs is the thing. So the IRS and whatnot doesn't really know where my money is coming from.
I see plausible deniability.
Did you do it for that reason? Or were you like, all right, I'm going to get out of the business and work at Popeye's Fried Chicken?
That one, yeah. Not Popeyes. Like I said, I don't know if you believe me, but I have like a bachelor's degree in chemistry, so I tried to use it. I tried to work.
Jenna?
Yeah.
The fact that you used like, I know you're not going to believe me, but I like have. I believe you, because that's the system, the educational system now. I like have, I'm a, like a neuros a scientist. And I like, I can, yeah.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah. That's so funny. Okay. So you have a degree in chemistry.
Yeah.
So when
I tried to do that.
So you worked at like a chem lab or?
Yeah. So I tried that, and I tried tutoring and teaching. When I decided that the industry was like way too
odd, that's my fetish.
Yeah.
Tutor me, honey.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I had a weird time tutoring and teaching. It was very awkward. I was not very good with children. No. And I had a weird time with the like teenage males. I was like way too close to their age, and it was just like so awkward.
You still are.
Yeah. Still.
You still are.
Like if you fucked a high school student, it wouldn't make the news. Nobody was like, "Oh, okay, of course you did." All right.
Yeah, I don't know. They would always like try to take advantage of me because they could tell like we were just close in age. So they would always like,
no, that's true.
Yeah, change the subject and try to just like, I don't know. I was not great with that job. It was also really humiliating because I hated having a boss. They were always like dumber than me and mean. So like, why would I work a normal job? You know,
It's like us with club owners.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
They have failed comics that opened a club and now they.
Right.
Chili Dog Dave Dennison comes to mind. Mm-hmm. I'll name names.
Gary Bynum. Same.
Chili Dog was just fucking beautiful oaf of a guy. And then once you get a comedy club, he was a prick to everybody.
Insufferable.
Not to me.
But everybody else.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a Tom Brady at this, like Air Force Amy?
I don't want to know. Like, I see myself maybe like retired totally, like just doing hobbies, hopefully.
Oh, I wish I had hobbies. I'd stop doing comedy if I had any other interests.
What is your hobby? What do you like to do?
I'm into like goldsmithing and like metalsmithing.
She likes making jewelry, Tracy.
Yeah. Bisbee's your town.
Yep.
Smithing is more
dates.
Oh, yeah?
Hey, this is a scam I always thought of. Why is it that you can't, like, you can do pornography, but you can't prostitute? So why don't you just say, we're going to film this? And we're going to make a porn movie and then.
Yeah, there's no film in the camera that's not turned on or whatever.
Yeah. If you can do porn, why can't you hook?
Yeah, I don't know. You're just acting. Same thing.
That's why I have a lawyer here.
That's right.
He just keeps dipping his face in his hands going. No.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. A lot of things don't make sense legally.
It's just to control women. Just to control their bodies again, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
You never really get in the political side of this, did you?
I don't know. I have my thoughts. Like, I'm a pretty hardcore leftist, like, anarchist in my personal, like, political views. Like, anarchism, communism. I like those things. Yeah.
And anarchism. That's... You that's all holes are available. You're everything but conservative. An anarchist and a communist are not necessarily the same thing.
Well, I like a lot of leftist theory. Like, I think they're related. Like Karl Marx always said that the last phase of like his idea of socialism would be anarchy because people would be like doing it naturally. They'd be like self-governing, and I don't know.
I love the way you say Karl Marx always said, like he's drunk at your bar every night. He's always saying this.
I read a lot of Marx in college. I guess I was brainwashed by my philosophy professors pretty well, so I'm happy about it.
Karl Marx just went on and on.
Yeah, that guy. Ugh.
He's fine when he's not drinking.
But he puts a couple shots of vodka in.
Yeah, you get him lubed up, and he's all about the anarchy versus communism.
Socialism and blah, blah, blah.
Yank, yank, yank. Do you want to fuck or not? It's $100. What's with those pubes? Are you Orthodox?
Yeah. Oh yeah, okay, that brings me to a question. What kind of penises do you prefer to work with?
You know, normal ones are the best.
Normal ones.
Yeah.
Normal, because I cannot tell you like
not like really like corkscrew like a pig's tail. Mm-mm. What do you mean normal?
Normal? like normal size, I think, normal functionality. Like, I cannot tell you, I mean, there's average, but I feel like nobody's average that comes to me. I always get like really either like really tiny like clit penises or like monster penises. I very rarely encounter just like a normal penis.
Oh, that's interesting.
I get, so when I get one, it's like, oh, great. Like, that's easy to work with. I know what to do there. Yeah, so that's probably great when that happens.
Yeah.
Why don't we have a call girl that we can sponsor as an, like, you're in a good place. You're remaining anonymous. But if we had a call girl we could sponsor, that would be very, very funny.
Yeah.
Like, we were going to put my last special out on Pornhub.
Oh.
And then they got into a bunch of shit about fucking having rape, what do you call it, revenge porn, oh, and fucking underage girls and people that didn't know they were getting filmed. And that was a thing. And I'm like, all right, we can't do that now.
Can't participate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we. But yeah, I would love to have my fucking special out on a porn.
Yeah.
Site.
Yeah,
that was my point.
Would be very funny. Oh, promo codes, like if a hooker who gets sponsored. Yeah. That would be good.
I'm trying to figure out how this could work, Chaley. I went into Hennigan mode. How can we have her where we vet the John?
Mm-hmm.
No, I know, it's a terrible idea.
Well, what if he just said, I heard you on the podcast, and then, so promo, you know, they just say the word.
Jack and Dino would be the first one fucking calling, and then we'd have the creepy story. Because you know that guy's nothing but creepy stories with the escorts.
Yeah.
I have no factual information.
I've never even talked to him about it, but you just know.
You can tell by the smile that he's fucking 100%. Weird. 100%. And then abusive afterwards. Mm-hmm. Not physically, maybe, but verbally for sure.
He tears them down.
Oh, my God.
They cry. They go away crying.
I hate that guy already. And he's a good friend of mine for the things he's probably done to prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm running out of notes here. But I'm fucking very that's done.
I like the most afraid.
Yeah. What was the most afraid you've ever been on a call?
Definitely the micro penis guy when I was in college and I somebody responded to my ad saying that they were like 6 feet tall and like have a 7-inch penis and whatever, and I didn't believe that exactly, but I thought, okay, this might be like a normal looking dude. So,
because you're from the Ukraine, you do metric.
Yeah. So I was like, okay. I invited him over. I was super drunk, so I just trusted everybody.
Oh.
And he comes over and he's like, he's huge and like really red in the face and just like looks really angry.
Hang on, you're breaking up. You're breaking up.
Oh.
Hang on, once it was, you broke up at the worst possible moment. The micro penis guy was really huge.
Yeah, like he was like, I don't know, like 300 pounds, like really big.
Oh, fat.
Right. And like really, but like very angry, like he came with cocaine.
We're losing you.
God damn it.
Oh no.
Hang on one second. Chaley, get on the roof and adjust the antenna.
This is the best part. Shit.
What? Are you running out of minutes on your prepaid card?
Is your Cricket, your Boost, all messed up?
I have really good the internet. How come is it not working? Right.
Yeah, it's us.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Okay, so he was really huge and fat and 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he brought cocaine, so I figured that like, could be why he's like acting really like angry. So we drank and smoked and like did drugs together, and he had a really high-pitched voice like a girl. And then I was like getting really nervous and sort of shaking because he's just giving off these really weird vibes, and then he pulls down his pants and there's no penis at all. Mm-hmm. Like, it's blank.
Is it High Pitch Eric or is it Extreme Elvis?
Oh, yeah.
It's literally like the size of a clit, like a normal sized clit. It's like there's like just a button there. And he gives me this like angry look, like, this is your fault, woman, you're gonna pay. Like this really fucking, like, he does this all the time kind of like thing, and he tells me to like suck it, and like, so I just listen and I just try to do something with it. And he starts like really furiously like kind of trying to like masturbate it, and it's so gross. It's really, it's a true like medicine.
Now you know how every man feels when you go, just lick my clit. What? Where?
Where is it? Why?
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Touch it. I don't know. A lot of 300-pound folds.
Wow.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah, it was like, it was pretty terrifying, but like the scary part was like after, when eventually after like an hour, like he can't come. I don't know if he's like functional at all. And I tell him like, okay, I really need to get going. And so he gets up and starts kicking stuff over in my apartment, like angrily, and refuses to pay. So he just starts like kicking over my cat's litter box and just like, so I just like opened the door and I stood like in the door. It was just like really loud so neighbors could hear. It was just like, hey, really need to go. And then luckily he did, but like no money. And it was, I was like really freaked out afterwards. But yeah, that was the most scary.
I don't do like, what's that, shock journalism? Like, mm-hmm. What do you call that when you get in your face? But I'm going to read a review.
Gotcha.
No, and it's not Gonzo. It's like
the gotcha.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah. Journalism. This is a Yelp review from that guy. Went to this lady's apartment, obviously underage, doesn't know a fucking great small penis when she sees one. Uh-huh. Who has a cat box in the fucking apartment where I'm trying to have sex? Of course my penis shrunk into my big fat belly. She made me fat. All right, I was trying to riff. I should never do improv.
I appreciate the
terrible glasses to wear on this show. When are you coming to Bisbee? Because we're passing the hat.
Oh, yeah.
When you say semi-retired, it made me semi-erect.
Wow.
Pat myself on the back.
Yeah.
I do live pretty close to you guys.
Yeah, no, we're not giving away your location. And I said to my pimp, Mr. Hennigan, I said, he goes, so where does she work out of? And I said, yeah, I don't think she's working out of there because I can't imagine.
Yeah.
It's like if you were a hooker in Yellowstone.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. The geyser made me so hot. I can't wait to come on some strange girl's tits.
Yeah, I do not work here. So, yeah, you're right.
It's long commute?
Yeah, actually. So, yeah, I was driving quite a bit, like, doing weekends when I was working, like, before COVID. Yeah.
We asked you earlier about your first experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What was your last?
Oh gosh, last like sex or last just stripping your
job?
Okay,
job.
Yeah. Yes. Instead of date, job.
Job.
That's gig. Gig.
Yeah. How about perfect.
Perfect gig. What was your last gig?
Oh, okay. I remember. So it was like this really old guy. He's like a 75-year-old man. He was the one who owns like all the jewelry shops. And he wanted me to give him a hand job, and he didn't know if he was capable of getting hard or not. So,
well,
it was like he could. Life. He kind of half got hard, and I was able to do it, but it was like one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen.
Taffy?
Like he had like crunch worms out of his belly button. Something was wrong. Like he had like stuff coming out of his belly button. It was like crusty, kind of like poop like substance coming out, and like he was just covered in sores, and it was like I almost gagged like trying to give him a hand job, and it was, oh gosh, it was very surprising. I didn't expect it to be like that.
Hanks in Philadelphia.
Oh, it worked. I mean, eventually he came. It was just a hand job, and I got a lot of money for it. But like, wow,
how much? So worth it? How much?
Oh, I got $1,000 for that.
We're with the IRS. This is a sting operation. I guess you can write off the poop in the belly button.
That's sex work is work.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Yeah, it was. I don't know if it was poop or something. It was like crusty.
I get one hooker at the beginning of the night to shit in my navel. Then I get another girl. She has no idea. She pulls on my semi-hard taffy cock. I come, I go, scrape that out of the belly button. It's poop. Everybody laughs. This killed in the cat skills. I don't know why it's not killing with you.
Oh my God, it's disgusting. Yeah. Oh. As I get older, I think about doing it with an older man, and I'm just, ugh. Yuck. Yeah, he just turned me so off.
Listen, I fell asleep in night before Christmas. A pajama, mm-hmm. You know, like
a onesie.
A onesie, but not with the legs, with the dressy kind of part.
I see.
And I fell asleep on the couch with my fucking balls and asshole hanging out. And Bingo took a close-up photograph of that. Oh. I will never masturbate again. Like, it was so disgusting that I won't, like, I shower with pants on.
Oh, no.
And I don't even know how to delete. She texted it to me, and I don't know how to delete it from my phone. I know that if I ever fucking killed a guy and the cops are onto me, whatever I deleted, they can bring back out of that phone.
No, they'll find it.
Yeah, they'll find that. And that's going to be my fucking headshot.
Mm-hmm.
I only sent it to you.
In the Bisbee Observer, it's going to say local comedian died, and instead of my face, they're just going to put that picture of my asshole cock and balls spread leg. It's fucking grotesque. I wouldn't even fuck Dave Rader with that cock and balls.
For another. I'm sure it wasn't that bad.
I've enjoyed our time together. I have to see it now. It can't be that bad.
Oh, it's fucking grotesque. No, no one's ever going to see me alive again.
Yeah, okay. She'll show me.
Yeah. Jenna, I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
you. Yeah, it was fun.
I hope you keep me up to date on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Glad you're off heroin.
Mm-hmm. Good job.
What are you drinking out of that? Is that actually a copper mule? You're drinking out of a copper?
No, I have whiskey and water. That's it.
All right.
Nice.
Wait, you said that's it? Like, that's all you have left to eat?
Oh, I was hoping I'd have, like, soda or something, but I didn't. So, yeah.
Well, we don't have a...
Mimosas. What?
We don't have an official call girl of the podcast, but you're it now.
Well, thank you.
Well done.
I appreciate that. I'm really happy to have gotten to meet you guys, especially Christine. I had like no idea you'd be here, and I think you're really funny. So,
thanks.
I'm really happy to get to see you. Yeah,
she was the first person we called after we talked last night. Like, she's gonna get Christine Levine over here.
I thought I was like Chad didn't show up, so I was like, who else can we get?
Yeah, like I specifically would search episodes with her in it because she's like really funny to listen to. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. That's really sweet.
Hey, all right. We'll Venmo you the hour's worth plus tip.
Okay.
Sweet.
All right. Okay. We love you.
Yeah. All right. Good to meet you. Bye.
Hey, Bingo, take us out of here live.
Okay. Hi, sweetie. And okay. Bye-bye now.